let's get you back to On the Map. Here's Dave Plyer.
All right, located in the heart of Wisconsin, Plover, Wisconsin is a vibrant, welcoming community with a variety of recreational activities and attractions. Come over to Plover and make it a summer worth sharing. Mallory Payne is the executive director of the Plover Area Convention and Visitors Bureau. Let's come on over to plover.com, and she joins us on the map. Hi there, Mallory.
Hi, how are you?
I am great. Okay, I have to say this. I'm a big fan of, you know, anything Wisconsin. It's my summer retreat. It is my summer escape. And in the 18 months I've done this show, I've known a little bit about all the areas that I've visited. Plover is very new to me. So for our listeners and for me, tell me all about it.
Yeah, well, like you mentioned, it is located right in the heart of Wisconsin, super close to Chicago, about a three and a half hour drive, depending on kind of where you are. But it is a vibrant, really welcoming community that is absolutely an outdoor oasis. So we have the Wisconsin River, the Plover River. We've got Standing Rock County Park, which is a sprawling, more than 500-acre park with trails, mountain biking, you name it, it's there. So our outdoor oasis is just an incredible kind of getaway, really to relax, unwind, kind of reconnect with nature, and just have a great trip, whether it's a weekend or through the week.
I know a lot of our listeners are like me. Like, we have our traditional places we go, but it's always nice to explore something, especially when there's nice weather. And I will say a 3 hour plus drive is like, honestly, these days, driving from O'Hare to downtown Chicago. So I think you should make it more worthwhile and find something to do up there. Let's talk a little bit about one of the big events that you have coming up, and that is Celebrate Plover. There's all kinds of things happening at the end of July.
Oh, my gosh, yes. So Celebrate Plover is it kind of continues to grow, honestly. And this is the second year that we've had a two-day event. Just because it outgrew our one day, but it is so much fun. We have on Friday, it kind of kicks off with a 5K. We'll have a balloon glow that night, and hopefully they'll be able to fly. So that's 6 hot air balloons that light up, and then they take off and kind of fly over the Plover area, come back, and then they'll glow for the evening, which is so beautiful. If you haven't seen a hot air balloon show like that before, it's just incredible.
And you have the standing. Go ahead, please.
Oh, sorry. Oh, no. And then we'll have two full days of live music and performances that kick off. So we've got the Ramble on Friday night, and then Grand Union kind of kicks off Saturday night with a with also a choreographed fireworks show that has been deemed the best of the Midwest. So we're really excited for the fireworks show again this year.
As I say, that's the 25th and 26th of July, so I like that. So if you're going to do your traditional July 4 stuff, you can kind of relive it all over in a whole different way up in Plover. And then you have the Standing Rocks Enduro. Talk a little bit about that. Big bike competition, right?
Yes. So the Standing Rocks Enduro is actually the third Saturday of August. So this year it's August 17th. And last year we had 160 riders from, I want to say it was 5 states across the U.S. and even as far as down to South Carolina. So Standing Rocks, like I mentioned a couple minutes ago, is just an incredible park that we have available in the area. And so the Enduro is a one-day mountain biking competition with kind of a few different categories. So it's good for beginners who maybe just want to check out if they enjoy mountain biking or and it's also really great for those, you know, hardcore riders that are looking for a new fun competition.
Very cool. We know what rush hour means here in Chicago, but it means something very different up in Plover, doesn't it?
Yeah. So we have kind of taken that idea of rush hour and really just really flipped it on its head. So, you know, it's not that get stuck in traffic. It's not, you know, wish you were anywhere else, but stuck behind the 100 cars in front of you. We kind of view rush hour as, you know, the time to get outside and find something really enjoyable and fun to do and kind of get that adrenaline rush. So taking a different approach to that, but it's that time to unwind and reconnect with friends and family and just kind of do something a little more fun than, of course, sitting in traffic.
Absolutely. We understand that here. You know, that's some of your fun events going on, but there's something to do every day there. I want to first talk about Standing Rocks County Park.
Yeah, absolutely. So definitely something to do all the time. We've got, kind of talked about it a little bit, but Standing Rocks definitely has, you know, whether it's those mountain biking trails, whether it's the hiking trails, just a ton of just fun outdoor activities to do in the area. Other than that, we've also got the Green Circle Trail, the Tamara River Trail. So we've got miles and miles of whether it's biking or hiking trails. So both the Green Circle Trail and the Tamara River Trail are actually state trails. So and they connect together. So it's about Green Circle Trail is about 27 miles, and then the Tamara River Trail, I want to say, is a little more than double that. And again, those connect together and kind of run throughout central Wisconsin, Plover Loop, and then extending out to some of our neighboring areas as well.
Cool. And there's so many water activities as well. I mean, especially for kayak and canoe enthusiasts, right?
Oh, yeah, of course. So we're definitely really lucky to be kind of at an intersection of the Wisconsin River, the Plover Rivers. Beyond that, we've got several really large lakes in the area. So Lake DeBay, Castle Rock is not too far. And then you can kayak, canoe, if you want to explore something new with your boat. So, you know, skiing or inner tubing down the river. The Wisconsin River is a great, definitely a great water attraction to do that.
Very, very cool. You also have this brand new science center. It's a food and farm exploration center. There's a lot to do here. And this is something that's very, very unique.
Yeah. So the food and farm is brand new. There's actually nothing like it in the world, which is really exciting. So it's kind of one of a kind, and definitely a state of the art facility. It is a, I don't want to say children's museum because it's so much more than that. But we do have they do have the kind of two different areas in there. So one is called the Sprouts Children's Gallery, and that side is really for the little learners. It's all through play and exploring their mission, which is helping people reconnect with where their food comes from. So for the little learners, it helps them really kind of do that through play. So there's a
it's how food is produced and delivered to the table. So everybody can learn about that. And you got this great STEM gallery too. And I think this is really cool. You have these ag simulators, which are these full scale tractor cabs, you know, that have been converted into like a 16 screen surrounded views of farming. So you really get the feel as a kid, as an adult, like what that life is all about, right?
It is so cool. The two simulators are, again, full-scale tractor cabs. They actually have been converted. They have 16 screens that are kind of a surround view feel of even well beyond what you would actually get in a real tractor cab. Some of the farmers have been really jealous of the views that the visitors are getting in that, because it's just not something that they would even really get in the real seat. So, those are really, really incredibly cool. There's all of the entire center is really through almost a gamified feel of understanding where your food comes from. So whether you're a kid, whether you're an adult, whether you've been in the industry of agriculture or you haven't, you just love, you know, to know where your food comes from. It's super exciting for everyone and definitely a must visit if you're in the Plover area, or worth coming up for itself.
Yeah, I'm actually going to do that this summer. Come over to plover.com is where you find out more. Thank you for sharing these really great events coming up and some of the things that you can explore out there. It's a new adventure for everybody here in Chicago, and I love the rush hour idea as well. Thank you, Mallory. Appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. All right, there's more to explore on the map next.
Let's get you back to On the Map. Here's Dave Plyer.
All right, we are exploring Plover, Wisconsin. Now, John Harry is the executive director of the Portage County Historical Society and joins us now on the map. Welcome in, John. How are you?
Thanks so much for having me. Doing good.
Good. You know, I love a little history when I do traveling, and especially about the area I'm traveling to. I love seeing museums and all kinds of good things. But you have something coming up next weekend, June 15th and the 16th at Heritage Park, called Heritage Days in Plover. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, Heritage Days is really a celebration of our shared past. And it really, you know, yeah, we're in Portage County and in Plover, but, you know, we really do tell a Midwestern story, too, about agriculture and logging and food and drink, right? And that's those are things that all bring people together. So we're really excited to welcome everybody back out to our Heritage Park Historical Site next weekend.
Yeah, talk a little bit about what your organization does in general, John.
Well, our mission is to share the stories of Portage County through education and preservation. And so, you know, it's an educational family friendly thing that we do, right? We provide opportunities for people to come together and create community over our past as things that, you know, in this country in these days, things can be pretty divisive, and our past is somewhere we can find common ground many times.
Very, very cool. Well, you know, Heritage Park is a historical village. It's about 11 different historical buildings ranging from the 1850s, 1940s. Talk a little bit about that, because that is there's so much to see around there.
Right. So of the 11 buildings, only one was originally on that site, and it's the Old Plover Methodist Church. And so that was the birth of our really our historical society owning property in the 1970s. And since then, you know, 10 more buildings have been moved to that site, and that includes a schoolhouse, a historic train depot, a post office, a general store, and we got a couple of houses with great stories behind them. And what a lot of people want to see next weekend is we have an 1870s blacksmith shop. And we have live demonstrators who, if you talk nice to them, maybe you'll get a little something to take home with you.
Okay, nice. I like that. Talk a little bit about the Franklin Calkins House. It was built in 1857, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, Franklin Calkins House, that's a really cool story because it transcends just being in Plover, Wisconsin and Portage County. It was a potato farming family. George Washington Franklin was the guy who built the house, and he was a great-grandnephew of Benjamin Franklin, actually, and he made a bunch of money during the Civil War selling potatoes to the Union Army. We're a big potato country up here in Portage County, and so that tells that really unique story and connects us all the way back to the American Revolution.
Yeah, that's very, very, very cool. Talk about the Ingford family.
The Ingford family was a circus family. So okay. Wisconsin has a large circus tradition throughout the state, and you can think the Ringling Brothers and things like that. In Portage County, we had our circus family as well, and they were the Ingford family, and they bought that house in the 1920s. That house actually dates back to 1850.
Wow.
So it's a really cool old house that they lived in and based their circus operations out of. So we have a caravan that they traveled the United States in to do their circus acrobatic shows. And we're really lucky to have that. And fingers crossed, one of the descendants and their husband, they were an acrobatic couple. They got married midair, and they're in their 80s and 90s now. And I'm hoping that they
wow.
can come back next weekend because they sit on the front step of the house and they tell stories.
Wow, that's very, very cool. And this was you actually relocated this house, right?
Yeah, it was half a mile away from there. So we relocated it. We saved it because a lot of things with historic preservation in this area, if it gets too dusty for too long, then people tear it down. And so the reason that these things have been moved to our site is because we want them to be preserved so that people know, where we came from.
That's cool. Now talk to you. You got a blacksmith shop that's still on site.
Right. That's pretty cool. Yeah, it's great. So we have a couple of local guys who volunteer who they still forge in that blacksmith shop. And it's a really cool thing to see kids see it. I mean, it's fire, so it's fun, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's really cool to see them, make things and to kind of show how you couldn't just go to the store and buy things. You had to make it somewhere. Somebody had to make it down the street from you. And so it tells that story as well.
Okay, what are some of the other cool things that we can see? I know we went through some of the events and so forth, some of the houses, but there's always something to explore, especially you do Portage County in general, so there's a lot to see, obviously, up there.
Yeah, so outside of Heritage Days, we've got several different historic areas. We do tours. You can arrange bus tours with it. I do a lot of different, especially like retirement groups come from out of town, and I am happy to do, a half a day tour around Portage County, things like that. We actually have four total historic sites. So Heritage Park's just one of them. We have two up in Stevens Point. We have a historic firehouse. Which I'm actually at one of our Firehouse Friday events. I stepped away right now, where we have live music and things like that. And then we also have a historic synagogue that we're going through plans of restoration right now. And then there's a tiny village near us that has a mill in it. And we own that mill, and we put events on there, too. So we're really active. You know, we're forward thinking about the past is what I always say.
I like it. I like it. All right. More Plover after we look at the roads. But very cool. You can go to Portage County Historical Society. That's visit PCHSWI.org. Thank you, John. Appreciate it.
Thanks for your time tonight.
Let's explore some more. Back to On the Map with Dave Plyer.
All right, everybody. So we are still exploring Plover, Wisconsin, and Mark Butera is the owner and founder of Oso Brewing Company, and he's joining us on the map. Mark, how are you?
Dave, I'm fantastic. How are you?
I am good. So you started this brewery in 2007. You were a home brewer, and I know that's how a lot of these breweries start, but you wanted to share this talent and your beer with the rest of us, right?
Oh, absolutely. It was, you know, I started home brewing when I couldn't even, I was too young to buy beer. I was in college.
That's okay.
And that's kind of how it started. But I always liked science and the art of it. It was just the perfect fit for me. So it's still a passion as much today as it was back then. So,
yeah, let's talk a little bit about the brewing and how you open the place up. Like, you know, this is a special place in Plover. People talk about it all the time. I want to talk about some of your beers and some of the things that you're brewing.
Sure, absolutely. Well, I mean, the thing I'm most excited about right now is our Never Forgotten. We've raised over $20,000 this year already to send vets onto the Never Forgotten Honor Flight or Honor Flight throughout the state of Wisconsin.
Good for you.
Yeah, so this is our third year doing it. It's just a light lager. It's really great. It's nothing super sexy, but the cause is amazing. And I actually went on the Honor Flight this year. And it was just a life-changing experience. I went as a guardian, and I had a couple of vets that were just awesome. So it was like it really touched me, and now I really want to get into it more, even just get it distributed out there. And so that's a real fun one. And then our meaningful side brand, which is essentially it's a gluten-free, and it's low ABV gluten-free. There's not a lot of really great gluten-free beers out in the market. We saw a huge need for it. And so we took our expertise on brewing great beers and put that towards brewing gluten-free beers. It was quite the learning experience, but the beers turned out awesome.
But you're right about that. I'm going to tell you, you know, people are looking for these gluten-free options. Like I just became gluten-free about a year and a half, 2 years ago, because I mean, I never had any of those issues. And, you know, the more garbage we kind of put in our foods in America has caused all these allergic reactions for people. And finding a good beer that's gluten-free is rare. So yeah, talk about that process a little bit, because that's got to be a little bit different.
Well, it's not a gluten-removed process for us. It's a truly gluten-free. So it starts with millet and buckwheat and quinoa and other things. So we don't start with any barley. You can't have barley or wheat.
Right.
And then obviously because we have a facility where we brew regular beers, it takes very stringent cleaning of our brew system. The grains are all pre-milled, so nothing goes through our milling system. So that's really where a lot of gluten resides in a brewery.
Mm-hmm.
It was just learning how the science of mashing, which is quite a bit different than brewing different, you know, than regular beers. So, and once you're boiled, you just ferment it like regular beer. You have to use dry yeast because it's gluten free. And then everything's certified under 20 parts per million. So it's fantastic. It was incredible to go through the process and keep learning. So
yeah, I look forward to trying that. Now, a couple years ago, you opened up the brew pub. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so we moved into an old Shopko that had closed down. It's a big department store, and we took 32,000 square feet of that. So we've got this great tap room space, very big. We've got a pizzeria in there. The brewery's right on display. You can sit at a bar and sit there and watch us can beer if we're canning beer. It's just pretty incredible. There's an upper seating. It reminds you of something that you might find in Chicago, not in Plover.
Okay, all right.
It's pretty grand, right? So, and it's Plover's kind of community spot, which is great. We've got a great following. So
yeah, talk about the menu a little bit.
The menu. So we, you know, we're in the business of fermentation. So we start with a crust. It's a fermented crust, 2-day process, a poolish, Italian poolish, and we don't use any water in it. We make our crust with beer, so that makes it very, very unique. And then we just source very good ingredients. So I grew up in Kenosha, which is not too far from Chicago, and I always wanted that really good Italian food. So now we've got a meatball bomber. We've got a hot beef. It's a Chicago beef, we call it.
Chicago. I like how you say that.
It's Chicago beef. Yeah. and then our pizzas, obviously, and that has been such a success for us. So
very, very cool. And you got some summer events going on at the brewery. By the way, what is it Point Crokinole Club? What is that about?
I don't understand exactly what that is.
Okay,
so it's similar to shuffleboard maybe.
Okay, all right.
I don't know, but it's done on a. I don't understand it yet. It'll be interesting. They're looking for people to play. So when they come in, it's a board game essentially, and they set up tables and people can jump in. And I guess it's really addicting and fun.
Crokinole, that's what it is, yeah.
Crokinole, yep. And then we, just about every weekend, there's music. So we've got this big venue. We like to fill it up with people eating pizza and drinking beer and listening to good music. As far as we just started planning an event called Beer Beats Cancer. I don't have a date for it yet, but that be on the lookout for that, Beer Beats Cancer.
Okay, we will do that as well. Oso Brewing, osobrewing.com for more information. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate you joining us, and have a great weekend.
Dave, same to you. Take care.
And I also have to say thanks for doing what you do for our veterans. That's great.
Thank you. Appreciate it so much. It's an honor.
Absolutely. Thank you, sir.